bless this time, and please just again, just convey your heartbeat to us, and let us know, just pour out your spirit on us, and let us know just how much you do love us. It is so important, please, in Jesus' name. I'm not exactly, I'm going to start in the Song of Solomon. I'm not sure there's a better chapter to start with when you're talking about God's love in Song of Solomon. So if you just please would turn to me to chapter 4 of Song of Solomon, and we'll read a few verses out of that. And you know me, I like to get up close and personal here. Anyway, I guess most of you know there's a multitude of different ways that people have thought about interpreting Song of Solomon. Some people have said it's Christ's love for the church. Others have said it's his, God's love for Israel. Or it could be just literally interpreted as Solomon's love for the Shulamite maiden. So there's many, many ways, but I don't think you can deny that it's really just how God feels about each and every one of us individually. And this is his way of communicating his heart to us in a very profound way, I think. And I'm just going to read a few verses from chapter 4 here. I just start out with verse 1. And he says, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks, and thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead." And then down to verse 3, "Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate with thy locks. Thy neck is like the tower of David builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies." And then down to verse 7, "Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee." And then verse 9 is one that Pastor Handel brought out. "Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with just one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine and the smell of thine ointments, than all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drops as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon." I mean, this guy's smitten. I mean, this, I guess we're all adults here, so I'm going to use this, but in verse, let's see, what verse is it? It's talking about thy two breasts in verse 5. And I said, I hope it's okay, but I looked up how many times the words breasts occur in Song of Solomon, and it's 8 times. And one time kind of refers to, doctrine, but 7 times he's talking about breasts. I mean, okay, this is passionate here. God is trying to communicate. Yes, this is about a husband and wife, too, and obviously there's a passion, that sexual passion between a husband and wife. But, look at the language that God is using here. This is a passionate love he has for us. This is not just, a love that you have for a friend. I mean, really, this is passionate. And there's a couple of things that I just wanted to go through here. And verse 9, Pastor Handel brought this out before about ravished. And that word, he brought out libibathini, but it really means just to be transported with love. Have you ever been transported with love, so in love you just transport? I mean, I remember I was preparing for this, and God brought me back to a time when I was in high school. I had one of those schoolboy crushes on this beautiful blonde girl. Really pretty smile, cheerleader. And, when she just looked at me one time and just kind of came close to me, it's like the heart with I thought I was going to I need a defibrillator when that was starting. That's how, it's like a schoolgirl, it's like a schoolboy crush. I mean, that's what he's saying. It's like he's enamored. And that's how he is with all of us. This is not just some regular love. This is a smittenness, a real smittenness. I don't know if that's a word, but it just made it up because I love it. All right? And I want to, and there's a couple other verses here too. It's verse 5 of chapter 6 in Song of Solomon. And it says, "Turn thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me." And that word overcome there literally means to urge severely. Like just one look from our eyes does that to God. It just has this severe urging of love. I mean, I don't even know what that means, but a severe urging. Just one look. Imagine just your one look into God's eyes, and that's how he responds. This guy, this is love. And then verse 5 in chapter 7, it says, "Thine head upon thee is like Carmel, and the hair of thine head like purple. The king is held in the galleries." And that word there, held, literally means to be emotionally held captive or enslaved. How many of us think that God is enslaved by just the look that we give him, just the love that we return? He's enslaved. Does anybody ever think about that in God's terms? I mean, you know, wow. You know, God is enslaved by us. And then one more verse. It's chapter 10 and verse 7. And it says, "I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me." And that desire means a stretching out, longing with love and with joy. God is stretching out right now, longing out with joy and with love to every single one of you here. And we got to go to Zephaniah if you can real quickly, please. Zephaniah 3:17. "The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. He is mighty. He will save." And here's the part. "He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. And he will joy over thee with singing." Right now, God is joying in his heart over you, and he's joying with singing. Think about that. He's singing over us. And I just thought to myself, well, if I started to get up here and I started to sing toward all of you as God, "Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Thou hast the eyes of a dove, and your love has captured me." If God started to sing that to you, wouldn't our hearts go doot, 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 doot? And that's really what he wants. You know, what he wants more than anything else. And I'm going to bring out one more verse in Song of Solomon here, because this, I think, really captures it here. It's chapter 8 and verse 6. It says, "Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is as strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love." And that word picture there in verse 6 about setting a seal upon thine heart is from an old Jewish practice where they would take a picture and put it like in a locket or something like this around their chest. They'd take a picture of the person that was the favorite in their life, like maybe it was a wife, maybe it was a child, whatever, and they'd hang it around their chest. And that was like my favorite. That was like their favorite person. And I just thought the boldness of this Shulamite mage, she's asking God, "Make me your favorite. Put my picture around your chest. Put my picture. Make me your favorite." You know, we know that God loves all of us equally, so none of us is really a favorite, yet we're all his favorites. And she's saying this, and I thought that would be such a beautiful prayer for every single one of us. We could pray at one time. It's like, "God, make me your favorite. Treat me as if I'm your favorite." And he will do that, because his love for us is intense for every single person. So maybe when you go home tonight, just pray, Lord, make me your favorite. Make as if I'm your favorite. And you will, because you are. And the part about jealousy, I'm not married, so I don't know this personally, but I would imagine that as a husband or a wife, you don't want your spouse looking at anybody else. I know I wouldn't if I were married. I would not want my wife looking at another guy. I'd be jealous. God is saying, I'm jealous for you. During your whole day, I really don't want your attention on anybody else but me, because I love you that much. It was just like when I was back in the, you know, high school, and that girl came up to me. It's like I really didn't want her to turn away and go. It's like, stay with me. Stay with me. I want to keep looking in your eyes, because I was transported. You know, I really enjoyed chem class that year. And that was probably about the only reason, you know, because Avogadro's number doesn't just quite have that pull as that beautiful girl's eyes on me, you know. Or how many moles are in this or that, you know. How many times have I used that since? No. But he really is. He doesn't want your attention on anybody else, because he loves you that much. He really does. All day long, he just, you know, I'll get to Jude 21 in a minute, but he just wants you all the time with his focus on you. And really what he wants more than anything else, too, is just to let you love him. Moment by moment by moment, just let you love him. That's what he wants more than anything else. Because when you love, I mean, he is love. It says God is love. When you are love, you have to love. There's nothing else you can do. You know, if I'm a human being, I can't do anything else but be a human being. And God is love. He can't do anything but love. And he just wants you to receive it and receive it and receive it and receive it moment by moment. That gives us an amazing identity, to know that we're loved by God moment by moment by moment with such passion. And I guess I don't know why I'm going here, but, you know, with all the stuff that's going on in the world today, especially, I guess, you think about the shooting down in Florida, and everybody in the world has got, you know, their solution to this. And I remember I heard one person say, you know, there's no simple solution to all of this. And I thought to myself, yeah, there is. It's the gospel. It's God's love. That's the solution to it. I mean, you know, I mean, if I was in that school and I had God's love for all those kids in there, you could put a bazooka in my hand. You could put a grenade in my hand. You could put a 10-foot-long machete in my hand. I wouldn't have used it. I would have said, these are nice. You toss them on the ground and you go give people a hug. There is a solution to it. Yeah, maybe we can, you know, put security in the schools and all that, but isn't it just God's love? Isn't it the gospel that's the solution to all this? There is a solution. And the beautiful thing about this is that God's love changes us to be able to become those agents of love for other people. I mean, think about it. Saul of Tarsus in the book of Acts, when Stephen was being stoned, he was consenting to his death. He's like cheering on this Christian being murdered. It's like, yeah, come on, keep going. Stone this guy. Get a bigger stone, you know? And it says, and I think it's in verse 1 of chapter 9, he says he was breathing out murders and threatening. I mean, he was just, this guy was, I guess the closest thing I could think of was an ISIS, somebody from ISIS, who would just, without one thought, would just take off your head and stick it on a post and just have that kind of hatred in his heart. And what happened to him? The Lord stopped him on the road to Damascus one day. And then if you read in first, I think it's first Thessalonians chapter 2, like verse 1 on to verse 8, he talks about when he was ministering to the people there, that he ministered to them as a nurse. Like this nurse would care for his children because he loved them that much. He went from threatening and murders to caring for people like he would a nurse. And you know, and I just want to say I see that in all of you here. It is so beautiful and so precious when I see people come into the church who are hurting, how you just gravitate toward them and give them a hug, sit down with them, take time to minister to them. I mean, that is so beautiful a picture. If the world could just see us, you know, could see you all from my perspective, if they could see it from, it's so beautiful how all of you, and I just want to say you are such beautiful examples of that, of how you just play that nurse to people and comfort them. And finally, in Romans verse 3 of chapter 9, the Apostle Paul, he says, I wish I could be accursed of Christ for my brethren of Israel. In other words, he was saying, if I could, I'd go to hell. I'd give up my salvation. I'd go to hell that you would be saved. I mean, you can't do that unless you really, really love somebody. I mean, think of what Christ went through. If anybody has ever read The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel, he goes into a very, very explicit scenario of what it's like to be crucified. And it literally, like Pastor Handel's brought up before, when they whipped him, they took every bit of flesh, every bit of everything off his back, around his sides, the nails going into his palms there, went into a nerve that's like one of the biggest nerves in the body. It's excruciating. It says in Isaiah 52, verse 14, that he was beaten so badly, so totally beaten and whipped, that he was literally not recognizable as a human being. You know, we see these pictures of this beautiful, beautiful picture of him on the cross, and you got the beautiful flowing hair, and there's always suffering. No, he didn't look like that. He wasn't even. They said no one, it says in that verse that no one was ever marred more than he was when he was on that cross. That's the kind of love he has for us. And the beautiful thing about it is that we can receive his heart and love other people with that love, and that's going to be the solution out there. Because I just got to give you two quick examples. My dad and I were listening, and I don't want to bring up names, but my dad and I were listening to a conservative talk show, and they were going through the usual stuff about this rigmarole, about back and forth, and the Democrats this, the Republicans that, and blah, 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 they should be in jail, blah, 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 blah. And the atmosphere was just so negative. And it was just amazing. Then this one man came on. His man's name is Larry Kudlow. I don't know if anybody knows him. He's an advisor to the president. He's a financial man, actually. He's not really a political commentator, but he's got a show. And I guess evidently, I didn't know about him, but he was an alcoholic in his earlier days, and he turned to Christ, and he was delivered from the alcoholism. And he's just a layman, you know, and he started to read through the Bible about on the Sermon on the Mount, and you know how you know, then a little bit later on there about how that, you know, we're supposed to pray for people that persecute us and love your enemies. And it was just amazing when that radio program came on, how the whole atmosphere in that dining room, my dad and I were sitting there, how it changed. It went from that contention, that negativity, to such beautiful, beautiful, and it was just like, that sounds so much better. So much better to talk about love. And it can change people. And one more example, there was a tape that I heard from Pastor Stevens many years ago on soul winning. And he went to see this family, and there were these people in there that had been just rejecting the gospel for like decades, like 30 whatever years, and they'd be just nasty to people who would share it with them. And they went in, and he won this young man to the Lord. And then his father or something like that came in, and he was one of the guys who just for like 30 years, he just like, no, don't want it. And he just, and one of the son-in-law went out to get him. He said, no, I'm not going in there. It's like he just refused to do it. But Pastor Stevens and all the people in there just, I don't know if the Holy Spirit just fell on, but there was an atmosphere of love that the Holy Spirit just brought all of a sudden. And that man who had rejected the gospel for 40 years and violently, you know, negatively, not just, no, that's okay, no. It was, he said, he went from saying, I don't want anything to do with you, to, hey, why don't we have a cup of coffee and go talk? Just love in a second changed that man from being violently opposed to the gospel to wanting to have a cup of coffee with Pastor Stevens. That's the power of God's love. If anybody's ever read that book about Let God Love You that he wrote, he finishes that up with saying that love is the most dynamic force in all of the world. And we know that God is love. And we know that God is the most dynamic force. And then he goes on to say, just let love loose. And I guess that's what I'm saying tonight. Just let love loose. It's the most dynamic force. It can change people. It will change you. And it can do it if you just have faith in God and pray. Because there's nothing else sometimes that can do it. Our words, just our words can't. But God's love can change. Because he's changed me. Because I know I used to be just nothing more than a taker. You know, what can you do for me? What can I get out of you? And now it's just a lot of fun to give, and I never had that in me before. That's what we have to offer our world. Just like when before David died, he said he served his generation. That's how we can serve our generation. Oh, no man, nothing but to love them. Give them the gospel. And with God's help, actually with God doing it all, really, but using us as empty vessels, we can serve our generation, and we can make that difference. And I just pray that we do, because we are in a lost and dying world, and our country is so divided right now, so we can make that difference. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you. It may seem impossible that you could actually heal this country and the world. And I know that your word says that not everyone in this world will be healed and come to know you. But you say in Jeremiah 33:3, ask of me and I will show you great and mighty things. So we just ask you, Father, that you would show us great and mighty things that we know not. And that you would do not only that miracle in our lives that your love can only do, Father, but use us as vessels of that love and help us to bring that love to this country and beyond that so desperately need it. You can do it. Nothing is too hard for you. And we just ask that you would use us as vessels to do it because it is the answer. And if anyone is listening to this message on the internet, I just want to encourage you. I hope you've listened to this, and I hope you hear the heart behind this, that Jesus Christ really, really does love you. And he, when he went to that cross and was brutally beaten, he took all of your sins, all of the wrong that you've ever done in your life, all of the wrong that you're doing now, and all of the wrong that you will do in the future. And all those sins were nailed to his body. And he offers you an eternal, a life in eternity, free of all that stain, just like it said in Song of Solomon, with no spot. You can live an eternal life with no spot in his eyes. And I just ask, if you've never accepted him and never made him your Savior, just say, Jesus, I want you as my Savior. I want you as a God who loves me. Just come into my heart. Fill me with your Spirit. Lead me in that path of that intimate love with you. Make me that child of God that I can live with you in heaven forever. And if you pray that prayer, if you really feel like you had faith to pray that prayer, just please call the number that's on the screen there and let the pastor here know, Pastor Moore, Pastor Handel, anyone, the secretary, know that you've come to Christ. It'll change your life in a way you cannot imagine. Thank you. Amen.